unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Hour number two right here with you. Courtesy Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Re-airing from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as well. The number to always call up is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. I got a guest in studio. Funny as hell. Rocks comedy stages. His second Netflix special titled Joke Telling Business dropped today. Please welcome the always hilarious, the one and only Earthquake in the house. What's up, Big Tom? How are you, man?
How you doing, man?
It's good to see you, bro. How's everything?
Hey, you, man. It's a pleasure. You know, last time I seen you, we was at the fight.
That's
I was
right.
Doing the warm up.
Well, you know, well, we were at what we thought was a fight.
It was going to be
that
a fight.
That was Terrence Crawford, Errol Spence Jr. You know, when I walked, when I went to that fight, and I remember I saw you in a, I went to that fight. We were so excited about it.
Yes.
And we left depressed.
Yes.
Because we were like, damn, we wanted a fight.
Yes.
And that was, listen, I love Errol Spence Jr. to death, but that was an ass kick.
Yeah, I think, you know, you just can't get thrown out of Ferrari in that long and come back and fight. You can
That's
tell.
Right.
You could just tell the concrete took his best fights
That's
out
That's right.
Of him.
That's right.
You know, because you could see just the facial.
Yeah.
How the punches was just swelling. The scar That's tissue right.
yep.
was coming from. I'm in the boxing.
That's right.
And I didn't even recognize that.
Now you in the comedy as well, and you know my man Martin Lawrence. You remember that episode? Yeah. Remember that episode when he had Tommy Hearns?
Yeah.
And then he came out with the mask on, his face all beat up and stuff like that. That was how Errol Spence looked,
Yes,
bro.
He did. I was like, stop the fight. I told his corner man, they was mad. And I know his corner man.
Right.
So I said, man, you need to stop that, you know?
And I was like this, man. I was like, he should fight for another year at least, if not retire, because that was the kind of beating he took.
I think he should retire because just the scar tissue show,
right.
he's not able to take. It just puffed up. He was just like, he was allergic to something. Like
That's
he
right.
had an allergic infection.
You're damn right. Like Will Smith and Hitch.
Exactly
what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
No, listen, what did you think about Canelo and Crawford? Because you said you're in your boxing. What did you think about that one?
I talked to the champ, Terrence, 2 weeks before the fight, and I knew he was going to beat him.
Yeah.
He had that dog in him. And then I heard Tim Bradley say that Crawford's always been that way. Yes. Got off the plane when he came to spar. Can't off the plane, had his bag, went straight to the gym, whooped up on him, whooped his ass, and then put his shoes back on and went back. Didn't have no people with him. So he's been a dog all this time. He is a dog. And I love him. I love boxing when they fight.
No, that's why I'm listening right now. And then I'm trying to wonder, where do you go from here? I don't think he should mess with the Mexican monster, though.
Oh, no, don't mess with the monster.
Crawford needs to stay away from that. Because like he said, that brother walk around 220 or whatever. You got to stay away from that brother.
No, yeah,
got to stay away from that brother. But let's get into you, because you got a lot going on with your career right now.
Right.
Talk to us about where you're at right now and how things are looking for you. Because it seems like everything is happening for you right now.
Well, I just dropped my special today called Joke Telling Business. I named it because I think, you know, comedians need to be funny because they're doing everything else but telling a joke.
That's right.
If you're gonna sit around here and have the banner that you're a comedian, what's funny? Say something funny.
Right,
they're doing everything else. And so I just felt it was necessary for me to let them know we have nothing in common other than jokes. And I am in a joke-telling business.
And here's what I'm loving about it. Because I've watched you and you're just a marvelous comedian. Congratulations on all your success. You deserve everything that's coming your way. And this is your way right now. But I got to ask you, there's so many comedians. I almost feel sorry for the comedic industry because so many people have to watch what they say in this day and age, or they feel like they have to watch what they say, which is why I'm so happy you got this going on Netflix, because like enough of this nonsense. Comedians have, listen, just don't discriminate. Go True. After everybody.
True.
Everybody.
True.
And nobody can say anything.
True.
That's my attitude. And I thought that a comedian is the last person in the world that I would need to tell that to. But unfortunately, you got a lot of cats out there worried about everything they say.
Well, I think personally for me, I never worry about it because none of my jokes come from the foundation of it being funny.
Okay.
You know, and I can explain to you exactly where I come from. And, I mean, where the joke came from, originated to the originator. And also, there is no joke that you can tell that it's not going to offend somebody.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But you got to, you have to consider the source.
Right.
It came from a comedian.
That's right.
You understand? It wasn't your clergy, your mother, your father, the politician. Right. You know, why are you getting offended by a clown? That's more indictment on you than it is the person who told the joke.
But that's what's been happening. And yes. So and in that regard, I'm asking, how concerned are you about the comedic world? Because the bravery that you show, like you said, it might not require much bravery from you because you're just going to do what you do. But a lot of cats will tell you they seem a bit hampered, handcuffed because of the world that we're living in, fearful of being funny to some, but insulting to others. And as far as I'm concerned, if it's funny, it's funny. You say, well, my damn hairline, people make fun of me all the damn time.
Hey, we got you all the time.
I get hit all the time.
The funniest one I ever heard, they said, hey, I wrote it myself, though. Stephen A. be on ESPN and his hairline be on ESPN News.
Damn. It's the truth.
That's a good one.
And I don't mind. I don't mind.
But you're a good dude, man.
It doesn't bother me, bro.
It's just jokes.
I will tell you this, though. I will say this. I don't like admit what my fears are.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because I don't have many fears.
I believe.
But there are a couple of things. One of them is sitting in the front row.
Right.
Of a comedy special. Like, if I saw you, if I came to see you,
yeah,
I'm going to be in the back, bro.
I'm not that kind of comedian. Unless we pick the day to roast you. Now, if you allow us to do a Tom Brady,
oh, no.
Then you know what I'm saying? If it's a Stephen A. Smith roast, then I got to come for you.
True story. You know that damn Kevin Hart called me before Tom Brady?
Did he?
He wanted me. I said, oh, my sister Carmen stepped in. She's like, oh, hell no. You ain't subjecting yourself. I was like this. I don't mind. I could take it. She's like, no. Hell no. Then I saw what they did to Tom Brady, and I was like this. Good decision. Good decision, sis.
But you're from New York.
And I could take it.
You could take it.
They came at me with a lot.
One thing about you, you're strong. I watch you. they bounce off of you.
There you go.
You'll be good.
So you got this Netflix special. Don't you have your own show right now on SiriusXM?
Yes, I do.
Talk about that for a second.
We're at Quake House. We bring comedians together. You could kind of like say The View. Mm-hmm. For comedians. Right. We bring comedians different every day, and that's we right. sit and talk about hot topics and situations, and we make it funny. It's Quake's House. Kick it to my house till you get to your house.
There you go.
Every day from 1 Pacific time to 3 Pacific time.
What makes a great comedian? Even in this day and age, because I remember, like, T.I., artist, went on stage and wasn't bad.
No, but he
wasn't bad at all.
He's working at it. And I love T.I. He's a good friend of mine. He talked to
good
me.
People.
Time.
Good people.
Great people. What to me make a great comedian is authentic. Mm-hmm. Be yourself. We got an earthquake. We got an Eddie Murphy. We got a Cat. We got a Kevin Hart. Be you. And that's what's going to make you do well. So when I see somebody with their original style, being themselves, and keep true to what their experience is that make it funny, that makes a great comedian.
Switching gears, because I'm going to get into some sports with you because I know you know your sports, but I can't have a comedian on here and not ask this one question. What were you feeling like when Cat Williams went on Club Shay Shay years ago and just, I mean, everybody. I mean, he pulled no punches with everybody. What was that like for you to listen to as somebody that's in that industry, that's a part of that fraternity? What was that like for you?
Well, personally speaking, I think if you have any problem with any man, and it's a rule that don't even have to do with comedy, I think you first owe it to that man to go there and tell him have a problem with that man.
Right.
And allow him to address it. If you feel so much that it disturbs you so much that you need to get on a platform such as big as that and air it to the world, then you first owe that man the responsibility to tell him you have that problem with him. And as a man, deal with the consequences of him telling it. Mm-hmm. If it disturbs you that much that you can stop you from doing what you need to do. See, I don't have time to criticize or look at other people's career because it's so hard of me trying to be me and getting this what you have right now. So I have no time to look at other people. And who am I to tell another man what he ain't?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Who makes you God? Who's black? Who's a real one? Who ain't that? Right. Who are you? But if you feel it in your soul that much that you need to be a truth teller to this person, and you see that person, you should tell that person. And where I come from, A lot of people have problems with other people. I'm from Washington, D.C.
Right.
But if you have a problem with them, you address to them, and then you deal with the consequence of that man with the rebuttal to tell you how he feels about you.
Instead of finding out once the cameras roll.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Exactly. And we can handle it man to man, just me, you, and the Lord.
There we go.
If it's disturbing you that much, then correct it.
No doubt.
Come over here and correct it. Don't talk about it. Correct it.
I feel you
and
on that.
And that's how I feel about it.
One and only Earthquake right here with Stephen A. Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, and then some. You know, what industry provides a comedian the most material? Is it politics? Is it news? Is it sports? Where do you, where, if you had to pick where you get your most ammunition from, just naturally being a natural comedian born to be funny like you are, where do you get most of your material from?
Chris Rock said it better than anything. If you want to sell out arenas, talk about relationships. If you want to sell out theaters, talk politics. Mm. So the number one for me is relationships.
Right.
All the thing between your woman, your family, the whole thing. Always to me, the one is relationships. Right. Knows? And I, you always have so, it's so, a so, plethora so, of so, information.
So is it a truer, Mr. Earthquake? I mean, is it true that you know you done settled down, you got clamped, you married, you know, the whole bit. I say that affectionately, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? I mean, is it true?
Yeah, I had to get mine out the street and get on the sidewalk. we're safe, brother, because these accusations is taking down everything. The accusation alone take all the 20
right.
years of hard
damn
work.
Right.
And
damn
I can't
right.
I can't take that chance just for a feeling.
That's right.
So
how did that come to be? I mean, did you see the news, you got scared, or did you see that woman and you was like, she's special. I ain't trying to be without her. I mean, what was it?
What happened was I met her earlier and tried to do a Stephen A. Smith, you know, first take and get her that night. She wasn't having it.
Right.
Then 8 years later, I'm strolling to my phone and I seen her. And you know, you look through like, whatever happened between me and her? Damn, she looked good. And I text her like, hey, big head. And
big head, that's
yeah,
what you
that's
say.
What, hey, big head, that's what you say when you pop back in.
And what did she say?
She said, hey, big head back. And so I hooked up a time for her to come see a show. And COVID had hit right then and there when we met back. We hooked up. And we just spent time because I ain't had nowhere to go.
Yeah, COVID done helped a lot of relationships.
And killed a lot of them, too.
It killed, yeah.
You found out there wasn't your kids.
You found that you
didn't love your wife because you get concentrated time with them. And that what made me know that she was right because we was able to coexist in the same place and have a great time without doing nothing at all.
So when you making fun, how much fun do you make of her?
No, she doesn't like it, but now that she's in my life, it's an occupational hazard of loving me.
So, who's better? You making fun of her or her making fun of you?
She's getting better.
She's getting better.
Yeah. She. One thing about women, they're a chameleon. They adapt very quickly.
That's right.
You understand? They learn very well how you do.
Is she a huge sports fan?
Yes.
Who's her favorite team?
She with me now in the Washington Commanders.
Okay.
Of course, to love me on there. But she an L.A. girl, so everything West Coast. The
all
Lakers,
right. So you a Commanders fan, let me bring this up. Well, what do you think they're going to do this year? I mean, I had them in second place. I mean, they did get blown out in the NFC Championship game by the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm-hmm. They've been struggling a little bit this year. The Eagles have not.
No.
So I still see them having a shot, but they don't seem to be as formidable as I thought they were going to be coming into the season. How are you feeling about your Washington Commanders right now?
Well, our defense is not playing up to par. Mm-hmm. Baby Jesus got hurt. That's what we call JD5.
Right.
He came
right.
and blessed
That's
the
right.
city. We call
Damn
him Baby
right.
Jesus. You know, and injuries are hitting us. But I always knew you don't catch a great team such as Philadelphia in the first year or two. Mm-hmm. It's going to take us another two drafts to be on them. So this year, I think we'll be a wild card, make it to the playoffs and see it from there if we can stay healthy and then if we can get our defense to be playing better.
Have you – if RG3 had never gotten hurt, we damn near got his leg amputated by Haloti Ngata. We ain't never, none of us gonna ever forget that hit. Okay. If that hadn't happened, who do you think would have had the better career overall? RG3 or Jaden Daniels?
Jaden Daniels.
Because
he's a more team player. When I first went to training camp and seen RG3, in my humble opinion, I knew he wasn't going to lead us to
Why?
The promised land.
Damn, RG3 was the joint, man. I mean, yeah, we were looking at him. We didn't feel that way about him.
See, the greatest for me, in my humble opinion, what made Tom Brady great is he all his players that played him felt that he was a team player among with them. You know, the same thing they say about Russell Wilson.
Okay.
The same thing. He didn't isolate his teammates in a sense. And I could just see he was an individual in the team sport. The way he carried himself, the way it was. And I looked at my brother that we was in training camp. I said, we ain't going nowhere. He ain't going to lead us where we need to be. Wow. That was just my humble opinion.
And well, we'll never know because he got hurt. Because he got hurt. We'll never know when he got hurt. But RG3 did have that kind of reputation. I get your point there. And Jaden Daniels, well, the issue with him now is like, yo, he's very insulated. His mother's very, very protective, but he's a grown man, and he could definitely ball, and we're going to see what he's going to do. It remains to be seen. When you look and you scour the rest of the NFC, who do you think is the top threat to the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC?
Well, I thought it was Green Bay before they gave a 40 to the Devils team.
That's right.
And I really have to say the Rams, if they can keep their quarterback.
The Detroit Lions?
Yeah. Detroit, too. You know, Detroit is playing better. You know, we broke their heart going in there. Now, I still can't go to Detroit because I was killing them out there.
They still be. So what were you? So you went to the game last year?
No, I was performing, right. But Tony Roberts is another comedian. He's from Detroit and all my friends. So I was killing them. Damn. You know what I mean? I said, y'all had 14 great Sundays only to go to the playoffs and nothing happened. Mm. You understand? It was beautiful. It's nothing like but kicking them out.
That if time. You had to pick right now, who you think's going to meet in the Super Bowl? Who's it going to be? Throw Washington outside because I know.
No, I'm not even going to take them. I think Buffalo going to finally get over the hump this time.
I think
he's going
to
get there. And until somebody beat the champs, they're the champs. Right. Philadelphia is doing what you want to do at this particular in any season. You just want to win in September, September, October, November, and playing your best ball in December and January.
You know what that kills me? All the cats from the DMV. I'm looking at Washington D.C. I'm looking at the whole Maryland area, and I'm wondering why outside of Baltimore, everybody you run into is a Washington fan as opposed to a Baltimore fan. Explain that.
Because they didn't have their team and they left when the coach did the whole thing.
But you got Lamar Jackson in Baltimore.
You got Lamar Jackson, but we D.C., baby. It's like saying New York and New Jersey.
I understand that, but I'm just saying if you in D.C., I get it. But if you in Maryland, it's like, wait a damn minute. I-95 spreads a little bit wild there. Hell, it go to the Virginia for crying out loud.
A lot of people want to live in New York. They just can't afford it.
Is that what it is?
Go to Jersey.
Is that what
it is? And the same thing. You want to come to D.C., baby. We D.C. with the nation's capital.
I don't understand.
We're Chocolate City. Everything pops
there. It would change me. If Lamar Jackson was my quarterback, I tell you that much.
Well, I mean,
could you imagine if Lamar Jackson was a Washington Commander?
Oh, he'd be huge.
Damn.
He'd be huge. And I couldn't believe he was available and we didn't make that move, but we had previous ownership. That
Daniel Snyder. Yeah, say no more.
Set us back like slavery.
Before I let you get out of here, I know you also got a new Fox sitcom in the works. I heard about that as well. Talk about that for a second.
Well, me and Bill Burr, one of your comedians, Bill Burr, slated to have my own sitcom on Fox on the 2026, and it's the biggest break I have ever had in my career.
Why is that?
Because the network president said he wanted me on his air, and he wanted me to be me on his air. Usually when you get a deal is from a lower level executive, and they have to convince the network to allow you to be you.
Right.
And usually you come in and you have to find a showrunner, and they try to change you like this. But he came down with a mandate. I want Earthquake, and I don't want him watered down or nothing. I want to go back to when Fox started, when in Living Color, and Marriage with Kids, and that's the thing.
How much of an inspiration for this particular project was, say, somebody like a Bernie Mac, God rest his soul, considering what he did with Kings of Comedy and how that materialized into him having his own. So I remember when, you know how they would go backstage or back scene, and you see him with Steve Harvey and D.L. Hughley and Cedric the Entertainer outside, and he was like, you know, they won't give me my own show.
Exactly.
They won't do that, and sure enough, they they came back and they gave him his own show. Yeah. And we saw how the Bernie Mac show took off. How much of an inspiration was that for you?
Bernie was a good friend of mine. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
He gave me some of the best advice when I had my first deal. And the advice was, do not be afraid to fail. Mm-hmm. In other words, I didn't know what that meant at that point, but I do now. It say, be you. And if it fails, you can live with that. Mm. Don't listen to other ones. And it's instrumental because, you know, like him, I'm an urban comic. Most of our constituents is our people.
Right.
And they show us all the affirmation and appreciation. But unfortunately, our clientele doesn't have the power to put us on TV.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So when you're a mainstream comic, such as Jacob and the rest of that, their audience is there that they do the mainstream comedy clubs other than urban comedy. The people in that, their audience has the power to give them TV shows after they see they set.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he said that, y'all afraid of me.
Right.
And he used that platform that he was in front of more mainstream people to say, why I can't get a show compared to everybody
so
else.
Just not just telling jokes, you're gonna be doing a lot of acting.
Oh, yeah.
And you take any acting lessons or anything like that?
Well, you know, I've seen you on General Hospital.
Yeah, yeah,
I take
a
couple notes of you over there doing the drama. I'll be peeping you, man. I see you
over there.
It's all
right.
Lane to lane. Yeah, I get my lines.
Lying my ass or trying to act like I'm an actor. Yeah. I can't act. That's not what I do yet.
Yeah. But I tell everybody I'm not an actor. I'm a movie star.
Okay.
I'm content. When you deal with an actor, they have to sit here and get content. So they hire me to be me. So when
I mean, what does that tell you? You're going to be a father with kids? You're going to be single? I mean, what's it going to be? No. I mean, because you married now, bro. I mean, the wife got to approve some roles that you play. I mean,
no, she don't.
You sure?
No.
That's your story? You sticking to it?
We already had that discussion. If the check clear, she clear.
Oh, she clear. That's true.
Yeah,
that
the check
true.
Clear, she clear.
I got to use that. I'm still at the line. I'm still at line.
Check clear,
right,
she clear.
Check clear, she clear. Absolutely.
You understand? It's occupation hazard to everything. You got to get over it. I'm yours.
So when is it jumping off?
We're going to jump off the TV show 2026.
Okay.
And we'll be on for there. And right now, I'm looking to find my Larry David. Mm-hmm. That's the showrunner. Because
right.
You know that is the verb.
Yeah,
the most
the
important
part.
That's the hardest
part. Yeah, because they're doing it. They're handling all that stuff every day.
If you pick the wrong showrunner,
they're going to mess it up.
You cannot succeed.
They got to get you.
They got
to get you. You can't have somebody. You can't have one of them damn showrunners. This is my vision, and you need to adapt to me. No, your ass ain't the one in front of the camera. It's me. Adapt to me. That's
and
what
you know how
do.
You tell them that? I'm not here to audition for my own show. You understand what I'm saying?
I do television every day, and the man just gave me two lines that I can walk away with.
I'm not here to audition. You, Stephen A. Smith. Right. So you here to put me in a fictitious world, allow me to be as
right.
authentic I can be in this fictitious world.
Right.
That's what they hired for.
Let me show you how much love I have for you. I got to get ready to end this interview, and I'm not going to end it by asking you about the Wizards or the NBA. I'm going to do you that favor. I ain't going to even do that to you. But they're sorry asses. They ain't going to win 25 games. I mean, you know
not
that.
A, I know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know.
And I ain't even do that. I just said it to you and let it go.
Yeah, they hard on you.
Listen.
They hard on the eyes.
Catch Joke Telling Business streaming now on Netflix and Quake's House on SiriusXM Channel 96, the one and only Earthquake. Appreciate you, my brother. Happy for you. Proud of you. You know there's always a home for you. You can come back anytime, my friend.
Thank you, man. It's an honor, man.
Appreciate
I told you, everybody in the barbershop I'm coming to see you, and they love you, brother.
Yeah, right.
You understand?
I love them back. I love
That's
them back.
Right.
Even with my hairline. See how that goes?
On ESPN News.
How about that? Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. I thanks again to the one and only Earthquake. Got big things coming down the pike, and we will all be watching. Back with more of your phone calls and then some in a minute.